Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Get it? The Burt Show.
I'm the problem. It's me. So I did not protect my relationship late last week like I should have. And it ended up in a lot of stress that could have been avoided. This might take a sec.
The drama came from inside the house.
Ooh. Right here. I should have seen this coming and I didn't. So let me preface this by saying this, that I would say, first of all, I've been in a relationship with Amanda now for 10 months. We haven't had a disagreement. None. 10 months. I got to be honest with you. I have never been in a relationship before where I've gone on a streak for 10 months and not had even the tiniest of arguments. So I thought I guess I would come out of it in a big way.
You're like, let me sabotage this real quick.
This is way too easy, right? So the least attractive thing about me probably to Amanda is this.
The show.
Is not the content of the show, but what comes with it. Mm-hmm. The local celebrity part of the whole thing, the notoriety that comes with it, is the thing that she's least attracted to. She wants nothing to do with it.
The commentary,
just nothing. She doesn't mm-hmm. want to be like a social media couple, and either do I. It just feels phony to us. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need it. Doesn't want it, and she's really great about avoiding drama and doing what I said that I've always wanted to do is you got to build up sort of this tower around you to make sure that you're keeping dysfunction out of not only yourself, but out of your relationship. So early on when we started dating, we made the agreement that we're going to stay off of social media together. And then I even mentioned that on social media. Hey, just want to let you guys know, because a bunch of you guys are hitting me up in DM saying, we want to see more of you and Amanda. And I even posted saying, not going to happen. This is going to be very different than past relationships I have. Not important to us.
Did you just completely forget you posted that?
No, neither one of us did. Both of us did. So we made that agreement. And for whatever reason, here's where the details kind of get a little sketch. And it might take me a couple of seconds to roll them out for you. I don't know why we both forgot that we made this rule and how important it was to us. But last week, there was a event that happened in our relationship that... Normally would be really good content for the show.
It was a perfect couples court.
It really was.
It was a perfect couples court. She did something. You disagreed with it. You're like, let's take it to the people and let them decide.
Which we decided we were never going to do. 10 months ago, we said we never were going to do it. But I think that she felt that she was so right. And I felt like I was so right that we were going to bring this to social in a playful way that wasn't bothering us at all. Right? So what happened was... And some of this I didn't get to write in the overall bit, which I'll explain later. So Amanda likes to celebrate everything, right? She likes to decorate. She likes to have house parties. I don't like to do those things. So she was asking like, hey, so what are you and the kids doing for Halloween with the house? Are you going to decorate? I'm like, no, it's not really important to us. So she really loves decorating, and she thought it would be special for us not having that experience since I got divorced. She thought that she'd get proactive and go, you know what? Let's do it differently this year. So can I decorate for Halloween? And I'm like, sure, let's give this celebration thing a try. So she knows that I did have Halloween decorations in my basement from the past. So she asked if she could go through that and post the ones that seemingly worked well in my new house. And she would throw away the ones that didn't. And I gave her the green light. You know what? Never going to see these anyway. Do whatever you want with it. So she goes into this decorations box and she's making the decisions on which ones are staying because I gave her the green light to do it. And there were pictures of me and an ex on like really cheap computer paper that were taped together for at the time were part of the decorations of the house. She saw them. She threw away the decorations and she also threw away those third-rate pictures of me and my ex, right? She came to me later and she told me that she threw them out. And I said to her, those really weren't for you to throw out. Like, I don't really care about them. I'm not going to see them. I wouldn't have even known had she thrown them out. I'm not posting them. Quite frankly, not really down with them even being in the house anymore. So that wasn't the point of it. The point of it to me was like, those were my pictures and they weren't decorations. So I feel like you should have at least gave me a heads up like, hey, is it okay if I throw these out? She disagreed because I told her she could go through the boxes and take out whatever she wanted. And she felt, even though there were other, by the way, and this is stuff I couldn't write, there were other things, other pictures in there she did not throw away in frames. These were just like random, I don't know.
Just printed out on computer paper for whatever reason.
There was nothing formal about it at all, so she thought it would be fine, right? So I thought it would be a good idea for us to do a playful video about it and state my case. She would state her case. And then we would put it into ChatGPT and let ChatGPT make the decision on who was right, who was wrong. But before that, I said to her, I'm going to post this video. I didn't tell her it was going to be on Facebook, so she didn't know if this was just online or what have you. Okay? So I post a video.
I'm like, you need to get a cabinet of people that you need to talk to before you do stuff like this.
1,000%.
Right. Right. And while I knew that there would be playful crap and people taking sides on both sides, Bert, you're being crazy. Amanda, you're being controlling or whatever. I knew that there'd be some comments. I did not foresee the vitriolic judging of my girlfriend the way that I saw in the only 45 minutes that it was posted.
How many comments were amassed in that short period of time?
Cass?
Over 400.
Yeah. In 45 minutes?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So normally that's a good thing. Okay, we're getting engagement. Yeah. So, all right.
I even texted you. I was like, oh, damn, look how many comments there are.
So I didn't even think about it at the time. I'm just like, oh, great, we're getting some engagement. I didn't even check the post at that point.
I didn't even check the comments either. I just saw that we had that many, and I was like, guess what? Home run.
So neither one of us even are checking the comments right on it. So Amanda comes into the house. She's crying. And then she had some, I think she had to go pick up her son. So she comes into the house, and I'm working. And as she leaves the house, she says, I'll see you tonight, which is very weird for us because she would normally come in, give me a kiss, ask me how the day is going, even if she didn't have a lot of time. But I run out to the car to go, what's going on? Like, what's the rush here? And she is streaming tears, so hurt. This is the first time that she's ever had to go through anything like this before. And the comments were just so judgmental and so mean. And for whatever reason, I just thought it would be, I thought the comments would be as playful as she and I were in the video, and they weren't. They were really, really freaking mean. Like, she's a narcissist. She's controlling. She's this. She's that. Run for your life. Red flag, red flag, red flag. On one story, this is all anybody knows about her. This is the one story. And you guys created, some of you guys created this character out of a person that has made me feel as safe and is as loving and down to earth as anybody I have ever met before. The narrative that was starting to be created that is so completely not her really hurt her feelings and really hurt my feelings on a whole bunch of different levels that I should have seen this coming, I guess. And I could have protected our relationship in a way that we both agreed that we would, but for whatever reason, we let that go.
Well, you have to remember when you post something like that, people are only going to go by what they see, and that is it. And half the time, they're not even really paying attention to what they see. It's what they want to see. And then it's layered and it's nuanced, but this is often what happens to a woman on Facebook. We are very, very harshly judged. And it's the Bert Show Facebook page, so people are automatically, you have the upper hand because you have 20 plus years with these people, and this is somebody new coming in. So they're going to think they're doing you a solid by having your back, not realizing that by being so nasty. It's one thing to share your opinion. It's another thing to be nasty about it.
Yeah, that's not my definition of having my back.
Yes.
Is ripping, I mean, to shreds limb by limb. Somebody you don't even know, like...
But they thought they, I bet, I guarantee you some people did by like trying to warn you about this person when they literally got a mere, just flash of a glimpse and just, it is a, I think, a powerful example of how we rush to judgment on something was literally having the most minuscule amount of information.
Yeah, and I'm a big old fan of the old cliche that take a look at a person by the people that they hang out with, and you could tell a lot by that person. Her best friends are Kristen and Cassie and the woman that runs Burt's Big Adventure, Molly, who I hold to the highest standard values. I mean, you guys are all the same. Fun, can be trusted, really solid people. And what was created online by those of you that have no idea who she was, just was, it was, I don't even know the word to look for. Just really, really hurtful on a bunch of levels.
I think the other thing is, just to go on off Kristen's comment, we've been friends with Amanda for over a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, I've known her over 10 years and I've worked with her closely on Burt's Big Adventure trips and all of that. And I'm a friend of hers as well, as we all are. So we know who she is. Mm-hmm. So when this situation comes up, like internally, I'm like, that's really funny between her and Burt. Mm-hmm. Lols. But nobody else knows her. And she wasn't, I would say, as public facing as some other show members and stuff like that. So it's a brand new person. Does it excuse what they did? Hell no. I mean, when I talked to you about it and I went to go look at the comments, I was getting pissed off. And I'm not going to say anything else, but I was getting really upset because here I am looking at people talking about my friend like this, who is one of the kindest, most sweetest, funniest people that I know. And like Kristen said, we rush to judgment so quickly, but I see it over and over again. People will hear 60 seconds of a story. They won't even listen to what you say, and they've already formed an opinion, and that's it for the rest of your life. And the problem is social media has made it where it's somehow acceptable to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, would you ever say that to Amanda's face, what some of you wrote? Hell no. No way would you. And some people even hide behind fake avatars because they don't want it associated with their real name.
Right.
And I think that's what grosses me out the most is if you wouldn't say it to the person's face the way you're saying it on Facebook or online, then it should not be said.
But these people are going to take the stance that, hey, you posted it.
Uh-huh.
It's dude, it's free game.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you can comment without being nasty.
Right. Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. But what's nasty to us, they are going to be like, it's just my opinion.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
It's one of those. So now.
That's a coward's way of saying I'm being a B. Or I'm being a D. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so like, this is a perfect example of, I get more DMs probably daily about why I don't post my girlfriend than anything else. and this is the perfect example of why. This is exactly it. I've learned over the years that anything, absolutely anything that you put online or on social media, you have to be fully prepared for people to offer their opinions. And their opinions are not always going to be things that you find helpful or beneficial to your life or your relationship. So I just don't do it.
Yeah. I think part of the frustration for her and I also is we know that. Right. And that's why we made the agreement that we weren't going to do something like that, that we both just signed off on. The good news is you don't know how you're going to handle conflict resolution with somebody until you have it. This was a nice, nice, nice run of not having to deal with it at all. We handled it so well, and I am so proud of the way that we handled it in past relationships, not my last one, but in past relationships. I would hold on to that. Even when there was reconciliation, I still felt hurt. Like for days, like I couldn't, and that's mine. You know, that's my dysfunction. That's my unhealthy attitude. And she's a very competitive person also. But we handled it. I'm so proud of the way we handled it. It was over within 24 hours. I learned so many lessons from my past relationship. She was saying things when she was hurt that I knew she wouldn't mean, and I didn't try to defend myself. I listened and took the punches and said, you know what? I'll be able to roll back to this in 24 hours when we're both calm and we'll have a conversation about it, which I wasn't capable of doing just a couple of years ago. And we handled it in a way that was so healthy, and I'm so proud moving forward. I hate that it happened, but I'm glad it was so explosive the first time that I know that in the future, we're going to be fine.
Good.
We're going to be just fine.
And we're not going to post anything else on Facebook.
Nope.
Nope.
That's the last time this is going to happen.
It was really good for our algorithm, though. Are you sure?
Oh, I'm positive. It's The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Abby's loaded with a statistic this morning that is either going to give you a lot of peace or a lot of anxiety coming up in just a couple of seconds. All right, Mo, explain to me, what is going on with Ocho Cinco and his now ex that is like telling all the women on social media, he's all yours now, ladies?
This is a very interesting breakup, and people are trying to dissect it to see what's really going on here. So Chad Ochocinco is mostly known for being a former NFL football player. And his
Cincinnati Bengals, baby.
Yes, ma'am. That was one of the teams he played for. And Sherelle Rosado is, well, his former fiance, who is mostly known for Selling Tampa, I believe is the name of the show on Netflix. And so they've been together, I believe, for 3 years. They got engaged early last year, and they have a two-year-old that they share together. And when they announced the relationship, it was very, very loving. It was like they were super into each other. Everybody was calling them couples goals, and everything seemed to be fine. And it's odd because just the other day, Sherelle on Twitter literally wrote, "Chad and I are no longer together. Please stop tagging us. He is a free man, ladies." In which Chad retweeted with a gif of a guy walking sadly with his head down. And then that obviously got a lot of engagement. So that's how they announced their breakup, which caused people to have questions. One, because Chad is on a show called Nightcap with Shannon Sharp, and they are kind of known for doing things to just get engagement. One of the more popular ones was when Shannon had the live on IG where it appeared he was having relations and he didn't know his phone was on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are saying, all right, that was for some engagement. That was to get things going. So now people are wondering if it's the same thing with Chad, because literally, I mean, obviously breakups can happen quickly, right? But like October 16th, just recently, she posted something supporting Chad for being on Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity with Travis Kelce. And then I think a couple days before that, he posted her in the gym. So it's like everything seemed completely fine. And then out of nowhere, there was no talks of them having problems or issues or anything. She pretty much just went to Twitter to tell everybody, y'all can have them. I'm good.
Damn, this is the most 2024 thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just announce it on Twitter.
And he confirms it with a retweet.
Right. Yeah, just a gift. That was it. That was literally a year and some change engagement now, and it seems like that's how they're ending it.
So I do wonder if there's a mutual agreement when you've got a dude that's popularity is based on a podcast now, right? And you have a woman whose popularity is based on a reality TV show. Their jobs really are to get publicity. I wonder, in cases like this, maybe we can ask that Hollywood agent that comes on with us next month. Like, I wonder if they just made an agreement. Like, this is how we're going to handle it publicly. We're going to cause some controversy. So you get engagement, I get engagement, and we'll walk away from this thing.
But wouldn't you want the eyes on your project? Like, wouldn't he do this announcement on his podcast so you get more listens? Like, wouldn't she do this on her reality show to get more eyes on the show?
I think that's the collateral benefit.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Like,
yes. I will say her post does reek of somebody who has just found out that their partner has been cheating on them. Like, the whole free man comment tells me she is not only done with it, but she's okay with it because of whatever has happened in the breakup.
So there were a lot of women saying that they, like, from woman to woman, that's what they felt too. With the way that their comment was, it was either probably infidelity or he just was taking too long to actually marry her.
A professional athlete cheated on somebody? Shut up. No, he did not.
Well, we're making the same judgments we just ripped on a couple of minutes ago.
That's true. We don't know.
We don't really know. We're just making these judgments.
I think that's a safe bet. But that's all right.
Something tells me in about a week or two, we'll get some answers.
Yeah. Now, specifically that professional football player, I might agree on. All right, Abby, the statistic that's either going to give you some peace or give you a lot of anxiety for women.
Yeah, well, this might be giving Ochocinco's ex-girlfriend, some peace now after hearing this, because maybe she's just ready to say done. She's done with all men. She doesn't need them in her life, because this is either going to give you some peace about dying alone or it's going to give you tons of anxiety. It gave me a lot of anxiety when I heard it. I was interviewing this woman for my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, on Burt's podcast network, Pioneer, and she said something that really just struck a chord with me in the worst way. So she was telling me her story about how she dumped her ex-husband now because he ended up on the no-fly list, but we ended up in a conversation about how maybe dying alone as a woman really isn't so bad.
I made what I thought was the best decision for myself, and that if we were truly meant to be together, that we would be, that this would be his wake-up call. When you cut off access,
that's not the right clip. Anyway, she basically said that 80% of women are going to die unpartnered. And for me, I was like, well, that doesn't really make me feel better about my statistics of finding somebody to hopefully spend the rest of my life with, because what am I doing all this work for if I'm going to die alone anyway? But she said that it gave her so much comfort, because what it told her is that if 80% of women are going to die unpartnered, women are outliving their male counterparts.
There you go.
It's because women are equipped to be alone. So why am I so stressed about finding someone to spend my life with if biologically I am going to be okay on my own?
Women are equipped to be alone. Biologically?
But that's her point. That's how she saw it. She was like, if statistically women are going to spend at some point their part of their lives alone after their male counterparts die, assuming this is a heterosexual relationship, you know, years 80 to 85 or years 80 to 100, if I'm going to be alone after my partner has passed, that tells me that Mother Nature has designed it for me to be by myself at some point. So why am I freaking out about being alone at some point in my life when biologically I'm equipped to handle it?
This seems like really flawed logic to me.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, this feels like a coping strategy, but love is for you.
This is like when people say, oh, it's raining on your wedding day. That's good luck. Nah, bish, it's raining on my wedding day.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So I know of a woman who let a man in her house to ask him for a favor. And now she can't get him out of her life and she needs some advice. And this all started over her needing someone to babysit or to dog sit, I should say, her dog. And y'all have dogs and pets. So I'm curious as to what y'all would have done in this situation and if you would be this trusting. So this is a friend of a friend and she just moved to a brand new state. She doesn't really know anybody, doesn't have any friends, doesn't have any family there. She moved there for work. And she moved into her home. Now, with what she does for a living, she has to travel often, all the time. And she didn't really put together what she was going to do about her dog when it got to the point where she had to travel as much as she does. So I guess at that point, she realized, all right, I have a dilemma and I need to figure something out. She thought of taking her dog somewhere where they would watch the dogs. And I guess for whatever reason, she was against that. She didn't feel comfortable with her dog being around other dogs.
So she didn't want to like do a boarding facility or anything like that.
Right. So her next option, now, she has a neighbor. She does not know her neighbors yet, per se. She's only been in this place for a few months. One of the neighbors is a man. She is single. She lives alone. He is single. He lives alone. They met a couple times. He was, I guess, the only guy in the neighborhood who at least came over to say hello, introduce himself. So she figured, okay, nice guy. And then every time they see each other, they speak. But she still doesn't really know him. She just knows this is my neighbor. This has been my neighbor for 3 months. So she decided at that point, you know what? This is an emergency trip. I don't have a lot of time to figure anything out. And so she went over to ask him if he would mind just coming over every day and just making sure that the dog is okay, that the dog is fed, so on and so forth. So that's my first question. Would y'all be comfortable enough?
No.
To do that? No?
Hell no.
No.
Yeah, I think it's a different answer for a woman than it is for a dude.
You would?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so really?
Yeah.
Like a neighbor you don't know?
If I'm familiar with them enough in a month, you said?
3 months.
3 months, yeah. I've got some next door neighbors that I had to go over to their house the other day. So the only interaction I've ever had with them, I'd let them watch my dog.
Huh. Yeah.
No. Okay.
That's a hard no.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. I couldn't believe she did it. But she felt like he was nice enough, so she did it. So she said she was supposed to be on a 3-day trip. And the very first day, there's a code. I left that part out. I guess that he can enter her home. Mm. And he was supposed to go in there, take pictures, change the food, do all of the things.
Mm-hmm. So it's keypad entry.
Keypad entry.
Okay.
So I guess he went in there the first day and he did everything that she asked him to do. And he sent pictures and he, he let her know everything was fine. So the first day she's like, oh, this was perfect. This is going great. He was the right guy for the job. She said the second day, that's when it started to get a little weird because the conversation that they were having in text message wasn't exactly just about the dog.
Oh, no.
So the first day it was everything about the dog, everything business.
Hey, I want to let you know that your underwear fits me really well.
Oh, my God. Dear God. Could you imagine? I can't imagine. And it's terrifying.
So the second day, it was just more like, so how's the trip going? How's work? Things like that, right? So she didn't panic. She didn't think too much of it. She's just like, okay, maybe he's genuinely interested in how things are going here, right?
Oh my God, I imagine her coming home early and like he's in her bathtub with like a face mask on and the candles lit, just like with her bubble bath. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the stories that y'all are imagining are making my story not as good anymore.
Okay, sorry.
Those endings are way better. So she said the third day, that's when he started to like really pour it on. Like, he said something that was like, I love the picture that you have in your living room of you and the guy. Is that your husband?
Mm.
Which I guess that was his way of, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So she knew that was a bit odd. And so she answered and was like, no, that's not my husband. I'm not married. And that's her, whomever it was. It's her friend or whoever. So the guy goes, okay, well, I just want to let you know, you look very pretty, very beautiful, whatever he said.
Yeah, now
in the picture.
Too much, man. It's too late now. Change that code.
Exactly, right? So now the thing is, though, she doesn't really want to upset him because she's not home yet.
Yeah.
So she's not, you know, so she doesn't really know how to handle it. So she doesn't necessarily shut it down. She doesn't really flirt back, but she doesn't shut it down. And a lot of men will take that as flirting back because she's answering the questions like, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said the moment she knew was she got a picture.
Mm.
And the picture was him in a towel.
No, you're lying.
In her bathroom.
Oh. No.
I'm so serious.
Did he take a mirror selfie of himself in her bathroom?
In her bathroom with a towel on, with nothing but a towel. And then that's when obviously she was like, okay, we have a problem.
Oh. I'm just letting you know, yours lived up to the hype.
Okay.
The Bird Show.
From Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment bus.
Fans are divided on how to feel about pop star Chapel Roan after she had a tense interaction where she demanded an apology from a photographer.
Do we even want an apology if we have to demand said apology?
Sometimes you have to ask for the apology. You can't be upset about not getting the apology if you don't ask for it. And Chapel Roan, I guess you could just see that in this scenario, she was just asking for what she wanted. So she was out on a red carpet, and this is at Olivia Rodrigo's live tour movie premiere. So it's like a film for her concert, and she's on the red carpet. She's looking stunning. She's got her long red hair, and then all of a sudden she spots him, and she approaches this photographer and says, "You were so disrespectful to me at the Grammys." She's all up in his face. "You yelled at me at the Grammy party at the Universal after party. I remember. You were so rude to me. I deserve an apology for that." Yeah. Yep, you do. No. You need to apologize.
Now, this was the guy that yelled out, "Shut the F up," and she yelled out to him on, this was at the Grammys. "No, you, Esther," and then she went after
this
him,
is
right?
A different scenario. Okay, so that was at the VMAs.
But this is the same guy, I think.
Same guy?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So she just must be fed up with the treatment from these photographers.
I don't think he said anything this time, though. The way I read it, I don't think he said it. She spotted him and realized it was the same guy, and that's when she went after him.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So she was wanting that apology.
So basically, people are split down the middle. People are like, she is standing up for herself. Like, she's getting yelled at. She feels some type of way about it. So some people are on her side. But other people being Rebecca in the back, who texted me about this and said she's being annoying, basically thinking that she's overreacting and being rude for no reason. Like, he's a photographer, he's trying to do his job, and sometimes you have to be aggressive in that scenario.
See, like, I'm torn because I do wish they were better. Like, I wish that for the people on the red carpet, because I know that paparazzi and paparazzos will yell things just to get a reaction, to get that photo. So in a weird way, I'm like, yes, you know, like, change the game. And at the same time, it's like, I don't know how you tell somebody something like, don't let it bother you.
Yeah, you can't, I don't think, yet. She's still young, still very new to this. She's saying that she's struggling with the fame of this whole thing. I understand her reaction. This guy still hasn't apologized for being so rude, which we all saw. So she saw him and got set off. I'm saying in another 10 years, I think she looks at him and rolls her eyes. But now, I don't think she's got that capability.
I think my question is, In any instance, at what point can you no longer ignore the bad behavior? Because for me, from our own peace of mind, like, the way I would choose to handle that situation would be like, I'm not going to allow you to affect me. Like, it's
at
not.
At 22, would you have had the same attitude?
That's the thing.
Oh, probably not.
Right.
Absolutely. But now, like, because you are responsible for how you react, right? And I always get torn because that shouldn't excuse other people's bad behaviors. Like, people shouldn't get away with like screaming and being bad and saying bad things just because you want to be, you can be the bigger person, you can walk away. So I get torn. It's like, cause I think people who do bad things deserve to get called out, but at what cost to your own mental health?
I do think it comes down to age to an extent. Cause I recently saw an interview over the weekend with Florence Pugh. She was sitting with Andrew Garfield doing some press for that really sad movie that I'm not going to go see. We Live in Time. And she was talking about how in her younger years, she respects who she was in the sense that like she was very like forthcoming and adamant about things. Like if something was wrong, she was going to say something and stand up for herself.
Fiery.
She's very fiery. And she's like, you know, I love that that's who I was at the time. But now with age, she says, I feel like I've softened a little bit to where you don't need to be so, I don't know if aggressive is the right word, but you don't need to be so in your face about making a point for things. Sometimes it's just okay to recognize that things are just the way that they are or that you're not always right. And so I think Chapel, as hopefully she matures in this industry, is going to realize she didn't always need to be like so in your face about trying to make a point for things, because I like where she's coming from. Like I think she's coming from a good place. Like she wants to make some change in the industry, but at the same time, like it's to her detriment. Like it just makes her look bad. So it's really disappointing for Chapel, but her rep just pulled her aside and was like, let's just keep taking pictures.
Yeah, right.
Real quick before we get out of here, Taylor Swift audio has resurfaced from the Rachel Ray talk show where she was talking about Diddy. So they were playing this fun little clip where they were asking like which singer she would want to take to prom. So Rachel Ray showed her a bunch of photos of different singers like Katy Perry, Jennifer Lopez, Sheryl Crow, and Justin Timberlake. And Diddy was, of course, included in there. And Taylor said she wouldn't mind going to prom with Diddy.
Who would you have taken to the prom?
It would be a group. And it would be a really fun group. Diddy's really always been very nice to me.
He's a gentleman, isn't he?
A
lovely gentleman.
He would be fun to be in the prom group.
Again, I'm going to stick up for her. How long ago was this?
This was about 13 years ago. She was 21 years old.
So what we knew about Diddy back then, and I've told you guys, I had the same experience with the dude. He is nothing but fun. He came in here. He brought his vodka at 9 in the morning. You could feel his energy while he was in the hall. Back then, I'd have said the same thing. If I'm putting together a bus of people that I know it's going to be a fun time, I'd have put Diddy on that.
And to be fair, like, when you need something from someone, you're going to be nice to them. So if he was ever trying to get her at a party for whatever reason, of course he's going to be kissing her butt. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
They say never meet your heroes, man. You're only going to be disappointed. And this means, like, if you've got a favorite actor or actress or what have you, that when you meet them in person, it's going to hurt if they disappoint and they don't meet the expectation that you have. So if you have had a run-in with a celebrity before, if you feel like calling, you got a couple of minutes, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. You call us. You tell us the name of the celebrity. We try to guess if you had a good experience or a bad experience. And with any luck at all, we match up, okay? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. I will give you a couple that I saw recently here on BuzzFeed. This is going to be pretty easy, you would think, right? What would you say about Oprah?
I don't know.
Like, because it's not a business setting. You're meeting her in the wild.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to say she's pleasant. Because I think she knows to mind her P's and Q's.
I am going to
She was
say,
at a restaurant, by the way. Oprah at a restaurant.
I don't know why, but my instincts are telling me to say she wasn't, so she wasn't.
I want to say she's going to, because to me she just gives like mother energy, like aunt energy. And I want to believe that she would be super pleasant, but the restaurant hint here is telling me everything I need to know. I'm going to go unpleasant.
And she's a billionaire, right?
Yeah. I met Oprah. I was at a restaurant in L.A., and the entire staff was talking about someone showing up for lunch. We were seated near the back. We couldn't see the front door. All of a sudden, we heard, "Oh, my God!" We turned, and we saw Oprah. The lady sitting one table over from us apparently went to high school with her. Oprah's security, not happy that she blew their cover. Everyone in the restaurant flocked to her, and she took pictures and talked with everyone until she was basically dragged away.
Aww. What do you mean blew her cover? I mean, her cover's blown the moment she walks in the door. She's Oprah.
Oprah.
All right, Hunter, don't tell us if it was a good exchange or bad. Just tell us who the celebrity was first, okay?
All right. T.I.
T.I. What do you got, Mo? T.I.
Every time I've heard somebody have an interaction with T.I., it was good. So I'll say he was pleasant.
I'm going pleasant.
I think he gave some Southern hospitality. I'm saying pleasant.
I'm going to say pleasant also. What do you got, Hunter?
It was pleasant. I was working as security at Magic City, and he loves that place.
Yeah.
Of course, he's in a great mood.
Who's mean in there?
Nobody's in a bad mood at Magic City. Thank you, dude. I appreciate it, man.
Just tell your kids that's where magicians go.
Right.
All the tricks.
Brian, do not tell us if it was a pleasant or unpleasant experience. Just tell us who the celebrity is.
It was Danny McBride.
He better have been so awesome. Can I tell you, one of my favorite shows of his is Righteous Gemstones.
We literally were talking about that this weekend.
Oh my God, yeah. That show just cracks me up to no end.
Eastbound and Down, but he plays the same character, yeah. Like this D-bag Southern guy. But is he nice or not, Mo?
I would say he's a nice guy.
I'm going to go nice guy.
What do you got?
So I actually met him on Righteous Gemstone when they were doing the whole movie, and he was amazing. He cracked so many jokes with me.
Great.
I was in the scene in the background where Rim Time was. I was inside the building at the time.
So a great guy. I love to hear that. Okay, thank you.
That makes my heart happy. Thank you, Brian.
All right, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Robin Williams. Remember they say, don't meet your heroes. Robin Williams.
He was amazing.
Yeah, I would say Robin Williams was super pleasant.
I'm going unpleasant. I think he was one of those secret sad boys.
Not so secret.
Yeah, you guys just said pleasant. You guys just said, I think he's pleasant. I hate it here. I want to go home.
Okay. You can leave if you want.
Right, bye.
And we'll edit this whole thing, yeah.
What is wrong with you? That was on you.
You could have let it fly. You could have let it fly, man.
No, I couldn't. So, bye. There she goes. There she goes.
She left.
You know, I think Robin would have appreciated it.
Yeah, he would.
I think he would have. I met Robin Williams.
He's one of those secret sad boys.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I met Robin Williams while working on a comedy show, and he could not have been friendlier.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Lovely
human being.
For sure.
Lovely, lovely. Mm.
Good morning. I am not sure of your name. Just tell us your celebrity. We will try to guess if they were friendly or not.
It is Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott.
Missy seems very pleasant. It would hurt my heart to hear that she wasn't.
It would break my heart to hear that she was unpleasant. So I am going with she was absolutely lovely to interact
Let's
with.
Let's add another element to this also. Before you even tell us, you met Missy Elliott where?
At my job.
Which is what?
At a veterinarian.
Vet.
Oh, at the vet.
Oh, okay.
She was super nice.
Super nice.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off a vet.
Yes, she was very nice. She does have like major RBF, but I will say great to deal with. She was fantastic.
Okay.
Did you tell her that?
We did not tell her that, no. Okay. But we have seen her many times with her animals at Blue Pearl.
Oh, that's a great place. I've heard about it.
Shout out to Blue Pearl. We've been there multiple times too.
Nice little plug too. That was good.
Hey, welcome back. It never happened.
Yeah, right?
Good morning. Good morning, Katie. You're on the Bird Show.
Good morning.
Hey, okay. You just tell us the celebrity we tell you, if they were nice or not.
Pete Wentz.
Wentz?
From Fallout Boy?
Yes.
Where did you guys meet before we try to make our judgment?
So I used to work at a pretty big concert venue. I was the production's assistant, so I would run around. But when we met at the time, it was when we had our like continental breakfast out, okay. And he had his hood up.
Okay, stop there. Kristen?
Okay.
Was it a pleasant experience with Pete Wentz or not?
So Cassie will remember when we were in Vegas for the Billboard Music Awards, and I was so hellaciously hungover. It's one of my worst interviews I've ever done, was that Fallout Boy interview, and I'm going to say he was not pleasant.
But on the flip side, we met him at the AMAs, and you were taking my picture with him, and you told him that, like, I'm a big fan, and he turned to me, like, his arm was around me, he turned to me and made elongated eye contact and said, really? Thank you. No, like, wait, thank you so much.
A fan of mine? What?
Yeah, no, he was like, but it came from not just such a, oh, thank you, like a very genuine, nice connection response. So I would think nice.
All right, Mom.
I feel like we've been rolling and no one has been unpleasant yet. So
we're
I think
due.
This might, we do one. I'm going to go unpleasant.
I don't know. The hood up, continental breakfast combo. Mm-hmm. I feel like he might have been a little hungover, a little cranky. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go unpleasant.
I'm with Abby on this one. I think the food element is everything. Not nice.
He was, out of all of the celebrities or bands that I've worked with, they were the best and the nicest, most genuine men I've ever met.
Okay, we like to hear that.
Hey, clean sweep.
It was a clean sweep. Yeah.
Clean sweep today. We'll end it there. It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.